Being a therapist, it very much interests me, and some people do find it interesting. But what I might do is I might wait, in case there's more people that come that have done it, and I won't cover it just yet. I'll cover it a little bit later. You guys that did it, awesome. Fantastic. Alrighty. So tonight we're going to have a really good look at boundaries and what they are and what they mean and how they work in a relationship. And as I mentioned last week, I really find the aspect of boundaries in any type of relationship, whether it's marriage, friendship, whatever, family, is the best approach that I've ever found toward understanding and getting a really good hold and grip of the best way to do relationships. So even though, even I don't like the word boundaries, I don't know why I just don't like it. But until someone comes up with another word, that's the word. But boundaries does represent so many different dynamics. So so we're going to be taking a close look at that. And we're going to start by watching a little video of a couple, just a little bit of an example of just a scene about boundaries. And I do apologise, it's a bit of an old video, so the fashion's kind of a bit... another disclaimer, I'm a bit of a disclaimer girl. Okay, I'll stop now and let's watch the video. So this is a young couple that obviously were in love and all the rest of it, and but stuff just kind of went a little bit askew along the way. So in your, you've got your copy here. So this is session two. So we're giving them to you in parts. And so ideally, if you can kind of put them all together at some point and keep them for, just to have, maybe you want to look back on. Okay, next slide, please, Rach. So we're going to look at love, freedom, and responsibility. Marriage is about love, but while love is indeed at the heart of marriage, it is not enough. So just with going through this, keep Stephanie and Steve in mind. The marriage relationship needs freedom and responsibility to grow and thrive. When two people are free to disagree, they are free to love. When they are not free, they live in fear and love dies. That's pretty significant right there, isn't it? When two people together take responsibility to do what is best for the marriage, love can grow. When they do not, one takes on too much and resents it, the other does not take on enough and becomes self-centered or controlling. So what is a boundary? For a relationship to develop and grow, there must be boundaries. A boundary is a property line. It denotes the beginning and the end of something. It's important that I know where the boundaries are in my relationship. I know who owns things such as feelings, attitudes, and behaviours. I know to who they belong. And if there is a problem with one of those, I know to whom the problem belongs as well. Does that make sense? So without a boundary, we kind of don't know where one person starts and the other one stops. So quite often in a relationship, a person might have certain issues or things that they're dealing with, but they can somehow be transferred across to their partner or husband, wife, whoever the relationship is with. And so what ends up happening is the person with the issue puts it on the other person, puts their issue on the other person. Does that make sense? So there's a real kind of grey area in terms of whose problem really is it. And so then rather than us taking responsibility for whatever that issue is, we put it on the other person. And then that person, you know, ends up taking it on board and carrying it around and then trying to deal with an issue that's actually not their issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a little bit complicated, but if you kind of try and sort of just stay with me tonight, it's really important to get an understanding of this, because it's quite often, you know, when I work with couples, one of the main problems is the dumping. The dumping and not taking responsibility of who owns what. Okay, a relationship like marriage requires each partner to have a sense of ownership of himself or herself. The first way in which clarifying boundaries helps us is to define where one person ends and the other begins. What is the problem and where is it? Is it in you or is it in me? If we can see that the problem is our problem and that we are responsible for it, then we are in the driver's seat of change. So it's about taking responsibility for our stuff. Taking responsibility for whether it's baggage, whether it's an opinion, a value, whatever it might be. We have to own that thing. Three realities have existed since the beginning of time. Freedom, responsibility, and love. God created us free. He gave us responsibility for our freedom. As responsible free agents, we are told to love him and each other. So, this is where one of the keys and principles of God that can be sometimes a little bit challenging to understand, and that is that we're given freedom, but that freedom doesn't release us of our responsibilities. So it's understanding freedom in a responsible way. When spouses are free to not react to each other, each takes responsibility for his or her own issues and loves the other person even when he or she does not deserve it. Well, free from each other's control, each gives love to the other freely, and the love transforms the individuals and produces growth in their marriage or in their relationship. As Stephanie and Steve became more defined, they became two people who could love and be loved. They began to know and enjoy one another. How are we going so far? Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so this is what we call psychology theory. Very basic one, but still psychology theory. The Wright's paddock. Sounds like rice paddock, but it's Wright's. R-I-G-H-T-S. It can be a rice paddock too, if you want. So, Steve acted selfishly, didn't listen to Steph. Steph didn't speak up for herself. Not only was Steve invalidating her needs, she began to invalidate her own needs as well. Did everyone get that? So the result is increased distance and decreased closeness and loss of self. So Stephanie kind of got lost in the whole thing. She started off wanting to honour Steve and by putting him first. And they made an agreement about what that was going to look like and that she would have her opportunity. But it was kind of kicked to the curb. She didn't know what to do about it. He started to become resentful. He wouldn't talk about it. She wouldn't talk about it. And so the distance happened. So what's the Wright's paddock about? I actually need to rub all that stuff off the board. Okay, so the Wright's paddock is looking at Steve and Stephanie as an example. When a couple start off a relationship, usually there's like this honeymoon period that happens. And generally, it's pretty 50-50 down the line. So, you know, we're both considerate of each other. We want to be, whether it's friendship or marriage, we want to do our best to kind of consider each other and be thoughtful. Yeah. And so our rights are kind of split down the middle. This can happen either at the start of a relationship or even just to give an example of a healthy relationship. So his and her rights are split down the middle. Okay, when things get a little bit skewer and their boundaries, there's no boundaries in place, what can happen? I know you're just loving my drawing right now. Is one ends up taking a nice big chunk of the Wright's paddock, and one ends up with a little tiny bit of the pie or a bit of the paddock. And what happens is this partner, we won't say whether it is a he or a she, I think I did in the actual thing, but sorry about that. It could be either way. It's not to pick on the guys. But actually in this case, Steve is the one, so we'll call this Steve. So over a period of time, Steve has pushed and pushed and pushed his way to the point where Stephanie is feeling cornered, feeling suffocated, feeling like she's lost her rights, and doesn't sort of feel a lot of significance in the relationship. And so often, what needs to happen in this case is boundaries need to be introduced in order for Stephanie to start pushing back and taking back her right. So it sounds like there's a little bit of argy-bargy there, but ideally, if this doesn't change, what you end up with is an uneven, unequal relationship. And inevitably, as we heard, Stephanie's already talking about, she sort of wants out of there. She's not sure if she wants to stay with him. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
When it comes to rights? So rights can be who does what in the house, who has authority over the other one, who is most significant, who gives the orders, who wears the pants. And ideally, it should be an even thing. So one takes responsibility for their half, the other takes responsibility for their half. And that goes right across the board with everything, including emotions, taking responsibility of emotions. Any questions so far? Yeah. All prepped, isn't it?
When people become abused, when does something become like the male or the female has gone too far? And let's say in this case, Steve, they come to a compromise, or let's say they open up that and go like,
Well, what we're looking at predominantly is a reasonably healthy relationship where you have two people who are committed and they're willing to work at their relationship to make it work. But, you know, when it comes to abuse, I mean, that's the other end of the spectrum. And that's when one will try and control the other one and be abusive on a lot of different levels. So that takes us to, you know, the whole family violence side of things. And that's pretty much what that looks like as well. We were talking about domestic violence. But in this case, we're not. We're just talking about, as I said, fairly healthy relationships and people that, as I said, are committed and they want their relationship to work. Is that okay? We could kind of look at the other one, but just for the sake of time, and it's a very short course, so yeah. But I'm happy to, if you want to talk about it another time, more than happy to talk about it. Okay, so we're just going to break into your groups and have a bit of a discussion. Is that all right? Alrighty, let's have a representative from each group. Just an idea of what you guys came up with. And it is very funny, and not just a little thing. So let's start with you guys. And hang on, I need to give you a microphone. Who's going to speak? You got the straight t-shirt.
Do I need to stand up?
No, yeah.
First question, second, or third one?
Just give us sort of like a summary of the whole thing.
All right. Well, we spoke about the first one, and we're like that Steve and Stephanie had lots of conflict because, like, Steve was so used to being in control, and so like when Steph began to speak up for herself, he felt threatened, I guess, and so he tried to stand up for himself, I guess, and that's what caused the conflict, because they disagreed because he's so used to being in control.
Yeah, that's great.
And for the last one, we were just like, boundaries allow us to like talk about in marriage in particular, like perhaps set space, like even though you're one, like you need that space so you can own what feelings are yours, like you said, and boundaries don't allow you not to get to the point where it's like, oh, we're dumping on each other, like, but this is your problem, and like, this is your problem, and allows you to have that space where you can like still be an individual, but also like in the spiritual, like be one, because you're not allowing yourself to get to the point where it's like,
box. You pass it to the group behind you. And it's Jared. Yay.
All right. Yeah, we said a lot of what they said. Stephanie wanted more responsibility, wanted to put the boundary line back in the center, and Steve was just so into controlling that he felt threatened and didn't want to, I guess. He got used to having more control. Second one. What is a boundary? We said it's like rules that you put in place, a line that you draw that helps you see what's yours and what's theirs. Creates some freedom. How does it relate to God's command that to come home? I have no idea.
That's a hard one, that one, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. Thanks, Jared.
Okay, so we obviously discussed the same thing about Steve pushing boundaries over, and he didn't want to change because he had his power pants on and he didn't want to take his power pants off.
Power pants? I like that.
That's how we discussed it. By designing the entire coach for freedom, not to be enslaved, it's true. So they wanted a boundary, obviously. It's the limit of personal responsibility where, you know, you need to be responsible for your own things, but then come together and discuss them when they affect the unit. How does it relate to God's command, the two shall be one? So we thought that was more like an attitude thing, that you're on the same team, the one team. You're on one team as two individuals.
So. Awesome. Thanks, that's really good. That's a whole different view of looking at oneness. That's great. Thank you. Awesome. Yeah, so hands up if you know that once something starts to develop, you know, a pattern starts to develop, it's a lot harder to break it than it is to start it right to begin with. So So Stephanie kind of started pushing back, but the longer she, you know, she had let it go, and they'd been married 5 years, it could have been a lot longer actually. It's a lot harder to change because people kind of get set in, you know, what we call in therapy is the couple dance. So each couple has their own unique dance. And that dance, you know, if you can imagine a couple dancing, it can either be him leading, her leading, particular steps that they might take. And so if you've ever seen an older married couple get up and do some sort of a dance that they've done for years and years, has anyone ever watched an older couple do that? It's really quite funny because they know their part, and if one kind of takes a different step to what they should or takes on the other one's step, you know, I've literally seen them just stop and go, what are you doing? That's my step, that's not your step. So it's like a couple develop this kind of pattern. And so that pattern can be a healthy one. It can be equal on the rights paddock, or it can be unequal. And so it's like undoing something that's been happening for a while. And that's where you get the threat and the argy-bargy, because it's like, well, this is how it is now. And so if someone's always taking the bins out and then they decide one day they're a bit tired of doing that and the other person maybe should put the bins out, the other one's going to go, well, but you've always taken the bins out. Why should we change it now? And so there's a little bit of, you know, just as an example. Yeah, that's great. All right, well, maybe we'll just take a 10-minute break, have a coffee and... or a tea or whatever. Okay, so basically what they are is, as I mentioned last week, it's what's known as attachment style. And everyone has an attachment style. And it's got a lot to do with the way we attach to our main caregiver growing up. And it's really quite a fascinating thing. And if I really encourage you, if you're interested, to really look it up. I've got a little bit of information here I can give out if you're interested. But that questionnaire gives you an idea of, you know, and it's not set in concrete, and I think it says that on it, but it just gives a little bit of an idea of how you respond in a relationship. So I'll just briefly go through it. So there's four different types of attachment styles. They've got different names, but I'll just use one. So one is secure, one is avoidant, one is ambivalent, and one is disorganized. So if you grew up with a parent who was secure, so the parenting style would have been that they aligned with you as a child and in tune with your emotions. And the result of that in the relationship dynamic is that you're able to create meaningful relationships. You're empathic.
Yes, that's it.
Empathic. Able to set appropriate boundaries. Okay, that's someone who has a secure attachment style. An avoidant attachment style, I'm just going to be real quick. So they would have experienced parenting from someone who was unavailable or even a little bit rejecting of their child. And how that plays out in adult relationships is the person tends to avoid closeness or emotional connection. They can be quite distant, and they can also be critical, rigid, and intolerant. So that's someone with an avoidant attachment style. The next one's ambivalent. So they would have experienced parenting that was inconsistent and sometimes intrusive. Intrusive type of communication from the parent. And how that results in a relationship is it causes that person to be anxious and insecure in their relationship, controlling, blaming, and so not a lot of boundaries, erratic, unpredictable, and sometimes charming. this is where you see a little bit of that domestic violence characteristic. Disorganised. So parenting style would have been to have ignored. The child didn't see the child's needs. Parental behaviour was frightening, almost traumatising. So that's the extreme experience of childhood trauma. And that person in a relationship would be chaotic, insensitive, explosive, abusive, untrusting, even while craving security. So it kind of shows what's really happening on the inside is very different to what you're seeing on the outside. And sometimes we can, you know, when we see, for example, a playground bully, quite often what's happening in that bully is that they're insecure and they're looking for some sense of significance and security, even though they're bullying people.
Yeah.
Anyhow, sorry, I could go on about this, but pardon me, that's attachment styles. It's really fascinating, interesting. And so it's good to have an idea of, you know, what your attachment style might be. We don't all necessarily fit exactly into these little boxes, so please don't try and, you know. But as you can see, there were several types of descriptions there, and if you can relate to any of them within any of those attachment styles, just gives you a little bit of an idea in terms of how you might respond in a relationship. And as I said, if you'd like to know more, I was saying to a couple of people earlier, this course has actually been really shrunk down from what it would normally be. And so we're skimming over a lot of things. And what would be great is if anyone is interested in doing more sort of further work with these courses, please come and let me know at some point because I can run another one. But as I said, skimming, it's 4 weeks just to make it doable for people. And so just giving some very quick ideas into some of these different concepts. Is that cool?
Yes.
Yeah?
It's a good moment.
Yeah, so we'll move on. As I said, if you want to know more, come and have a chat with me. Just one other thing for housekeeping. One thing that I do run in the counselling centre is what's called Prepare and Enrich, which is, has anyone heard of Prepare and Enrich? Yep, one person, two people. Okay, what it is if you're planning to get married and you'd like to do some pre-marriage counselling, it's brilliant. And what it does is it asks you all this information and it spits it into it goes into the computer spits it back out. And it just gives you this whole graph of some of the compatibilities, what may potentially become an area of challenge for you, et cetera, et cetera. It's also good if you're already married. That's where the enrich part comes in. So if you know, a lot of married couples find it really quite fascinating to do something like that and look at where their marriage is actually at and how it's all going and what areas they can and need to improve on. So that's available, and I'm offering that free of charge. There's only one cost, and that is $40 for the actual assessment. And other than that, there's no further charge. So that's a relationship course special for anyone that would like to take that up. Okay, how are we going? So we've got about 15 minutes. So the next thing we're looking at is the 10 laws of boundaries, and we won't go through all of these because obviously that will take a little while. But just very, very briefly, I'll skim over them and then if there's any questions. And then I'll just really encourage you to read over this stuff, you know, in your own time and just kind of meditate on it. So the first law is sowing and reaping. We all know what sowing and reaping is. So it's no different in relationships. What we put into it is what we'll get out of it. And so again, when it comes to being you know, equally yoked or however way you want to put it in a relationship. It's always good to be thinking about what we're putting in, not just what we need to get from the relationship ourselves. Responsibility. So we are responsible to each other, but not for each other. That's really key, guys. We are responsible to each other, but not for each other. So if one of us is having a meltdown, you know, we have a responsibility to kind of support that, the other partner. But we're not responsible for the meltdown. We're not responsible for them making a decision about how they're going to handle that meltdown. Does that make sense? So I'll move on. I mean, that's, see what I mean? Like, there's some really big things in here. We could have like a whole session just on that. But I'm just skimming. That's why I'm really just, if anyone does have questions, please just put your hand up. Okay, law number three, the law of power. We don't have the power to change someone. We don't have the power to change someone. I don't know how many people, including me, thought that I could change my partner. And I tried, I really tried, and it just didn't work. And so we can't change them, but we can influence them. We do have the power to confess, submit, and repent of our own hurtful ways and then be willing to change. So we can choose to change if we want to. But if our partner tries to change us, guess what happens? The more you try and change someone, the more they're determined not to change. That's human nature. Okay, moving on. Law number four, respect. Okay, that goes without saying. We wish for others to respect our boundaries. It is our responsibility to respect theirs. We can't expect others to cherish our limits if we don't cherish theirs. So that's really key, guys, about boundaries. You know, often we can learn about boundaries and go, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to put some boundaries in place. And that's awesome, keeping in mind that it's not just being aware of our own boundaries, but others' boundaries as well, and respecting them. Number five is motivation. So we must be free to say that's no, not not. We must be free to say no before we can wholeheartedly say yes. So no one can actually love another if he feels he doesn't have a choice not to. That's a biggie. Mm. I don't know about you guys, I think that's a real biggie. We'll move on. Okay, number six, evaluation. It is our responsibility to evaluate the pain our boundaries cause others. Do they cause pain that leads to injury, or do they cause pain that leads to growth? Okay, anyone have any idea why a boundary might be painful? Why it might cause pain? We've been talking about how great boundaries are and how important they are. Any thoughts on why it would cause pain? So sometimes people kind of get on the boundary train, and then they might do something like, well, I'm putting boundaries in place, so from now on, this is my side of the room, that's your sign, you're not allowed to cross over. So that's a type of boundary that is actually not helpful. It's not going to benefit anyone. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, sorry, it's just a very quick run through this. So law number seven, proactivity. This is a call to solve problems without blowing up, without waiting until we are reacting to others instead of intentionally living out our values. So it's always good to be open in communication and to try and kind of do some problem solving before it gets to the blow-up stage. Okay, law number eight, envy. This law addresses the most powerful obstacle to setting boundaries in marriage, envy. We will never get what we want if we focus outside of our boundaries on what others have. Does that make sense? Law number nine, activity. It is our responsibility to take the initiative to solve our problems rather than being passive. Taking initiative increases one's chances to learn from mistakes. So how do you think someone with an avoidant attachment would deal with that?
Next year,
that's right. So this is where attachment styles is really key, guys. It's good to be aware of how you respond and why. Law number 10, exposure. It is our responsibility to communicate our boundaries to each other. When boundaries are exposed, two souls can be connected in the world. Why would we need to expose? What do you think that means?
We can't mind read. We can't read the other person's mind.
Yes, exactly. So many times couples think that, oh, well, she should know what I want. She should know what, you know, he should know. I shouldn't have to tell him. You know, if he knows me well enough, he would know. And so we don't verbalise. We don't take responsibility of making, communicating that and being open about that and letting the other person know. And, I've been married for 32 years. And my husband knows me pretty well, I know him pretty well. But you know what? We don't each know each other that well that we know what we're thinking. I know. And so often he might say to me, "Don't tell him I said this." But he might go, "Oh yeah, I know what you're going to say." I'm like, what am I going to say? You're going to say this. Actually, that's not what I was going to say at all. Nothing like it, nothing to do with it. So sometimes we can be a little bit presumptuous and think that we have an idea, but this is why communications are really, really important. It's good to sit down and talk and listen. Listening, how many know listening is more important than talking? Yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Awesome. And I can tell couples, you know, sometimes couples will go, okay, we're going to talk, we're going to communicate, we're going to, you know, I'll listen. And then, you know, you watch one will be talking, the other one's listening, but they're not really listening because they're just thinking about what they're going to say. So they're just waiting for the other one to stop talking. And you go, did you really kind of catch what they were saying? Oh, yeah, but I want to say this. So listening sounds simple, but it's actually, there's a real trick to it. And I know in my training in therapy, active listening, what's known as active listening, was a huge part of my training, and we spent a long, long time practicing that skill, because it's a skill. To actually listen actively is to listen to what the person is saying, and to do it actively means to actually be thinking about what they're saying and also trying to step into their shoes. So being showing empathy through what they're saying. And so that when they're finished talking, not only can you summarise what they've said, but you can also give an empathy response to what they've said. So that's what real listening is. But we often just, we're not always that good at it. And, you know, So it's a good skill to kind of practice and get in the habit of doing, especially in relationships. Because how many know if a person spends more time listening and the other one just talks all the time, after a while it gets a little bit, you know, person doesn't want to listen anymore. So it's important that both couples, both partners, contribute to being good active listeners as well as talkers.
Good.
Okay, any questions? Any comments? Any thoughts? Got a couple of minutes, guys. No? I'm so glad you're in this course, because... any, you know, work relationships. Some of this stuff can be applied just on a different scale, but similar type of thing. So. Alrighty, well, we're
awesome.
Done.
Great.
And thank you, guys. Thank you. Thanks for being here and taking part. And as I said, I'll send you any information. I've got some stuff here on attachment if anyone would like something to read more about it. Anything else, just come and see me.
Oh, no, I was just pulling my hand off.
You'd like information? Okay, cool. Oh, good. Lots of interest. Alrighty, thanks guys. God bless.